Blog Talk Radio.
In here, there, yes, indeed, the Frat House Sports Garage is open this Sunday morning, April 3rd. Yes, we are. It feels like it's been forever since we've been on, and well, it has been. It's been about 3 weeks, and that's completely my fault. We were supposed to be on the 20th of March, but I just missed it. You know, I just had so much going on that Saturday, I failed to schedule the program. So blame Frat House Mike for that one. That was all my fault. But we were supposed to come to you on the 20th and then 27th, of course. No race that day, so we just took an extra week off. So there's 2 weeks off, and here we are. We're back at it as we're taking a look at race number 6 in NASCAR, and we're heading to the, oh, as our good buddy John said this morning, going to head to the clothespin. No, I think it's called the paperclip, right? Yeah, that's where we're heading. We're heading to Martinsville. And so we're going to be taking a look at that. We've got 2 weeks to catch up on because we had race number 4. We had race number 5. I'm telling you, you know, and try to keep it all together. You can't miss a week. That I've learned my lesson. We can't miss a week because, with all due respect, I frankly forgot. You know, I just frankly forget everything that had occurred. I couldn't even remember who has won race number 4. I had to go back and look it up. It was Kevin Harvick, of course. And then Jimmy Johnson, excuse me, won race number 5 at Auto Club Speedway there in California. That was Jimmy Johnson's second win of the season already. And with all due respect, I got to be honest with you, while we've had some good racing, you know, there's been a number of great reviews about the new package for the lower downforce and all that, and how it's increased the racing and it's made for some really, really terrific finishes. I got to be honest with you, when you take a look at the standings, it's kind of ho-hum. It's a bit of a yawner. What else is new? That sort of thing. I mean, there's no real surprises. As I point out, Jimmy Johnson with 2 wins, Kevin Harvick's got a win, Denny Hamlin, and then you got the pesky boys in their brackets, Lasky and Who's dominating everything so far from what we've seen. Well, hey, the Penske boys are running well on the track. They've been qualifying well. JGR has been dominating with their – but, hey, it's not – there really haven't been any kind of major surprises, and that's kind of what I'm looking for. But, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the youngsters, and I'm telling you right now, I'm really impressed with what I've been seeing from people like Austin Dillon, who's not a rookie. I mean, this is his third year, I believe. But when you take a look at the rookies, you got Chase Elliott in there running tremendously. We're going to talk about the standings and where he stands in that. You got Ryan Blaney's been running quite well. Those two right now fighting it out early on in the season so far for Rookie of the Year. So we're going to talk all about the different things that are happening over the past couple of weeks and what we might expect at Martinsville. We also had a little bit of a issue this week, and it was interesting because it kind of continued to spin a bit. And that was all this talk about head trauma and concussions. And suddenly I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, this is NASCAR, right? We're not talking about the NFL. And we're going to talk a little bit about that because not only did we have the announcement the other week, I guess it was last week, that Dale Jr. planned on, you know, donating his brain afterward for research with regard to head trauma. But now Jimmy Johnson jumps in on it. And then Dale comes back and makes some additional comments about it. So it's a very interesting kind of situation. And suddenly, you know, it starts to make me think, you know, are concussions and head trauma going to be a thing in every sport? Is that what we're left with? That's what it's going to come down to? What else do we got today? Well, hey, we do have some NHRA drag racing going on out in Las Vegas, and we will take a look at that. They're in their fourth heat for the season already, and we will be taking a look at that and some surprises in the leaderboard there. All right, let me get the other mechanics in here. I got Sidekick, and I got Brandon, and we're all coming from different locations today. How are we today, gentlemen? The garage is open, thankfully.
Yeah, we're doing good.
You better tie everything down in the garage.
You're not kidding. Holy smokes. My goodness.
What is it, like 70-mile-an-hour winds here?
The winds have been absolutely crazy. I mean, you know, we've had beautiful weather for the past couple of weeks. I mean, 70 and 80-degree temperatures. And from what I'm told right now, we got wind chills outside of like 28 degrees.
Yeah, it's a cold one out there this morning. I was going to say, this almost reminds me of, a couple of weeks ago when we were out in Phoenix with all the wind that was.
Yeah, really. What's it like? I forgot about that. What's it like at the beachfront there, Brandon?
Oh, I'm just sitting here with my feet up looking out the window at the Atlantic Ocean to a bright, sunny day. It's nice and pretty. It's a little brisk, I'm sure. I haven't actually been out to feel the cold, but you can feel it coming in through the window a little.
Still laid up in his boxers. Who's he kidding?
No, I'm actually fully dressed, ready to roll. I even took a shower. I'm all clean, ready to go, man.
No, he doesn't have any dirt under his fingernails yet. We got to get the dirt under the fingernails going.
Right.
That's what we got to do.
I may have a little bit of a head cold or something, but that's about the worst holding me back.
I was going to say, that sounds like a pit crew chief on suspension.
That's a nice way to serve a suspension. You know, hey, we'll just go to the beach. That's a nice suspension there. Nice. If anybody wants to jump in with us, 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here at the Frat House Sports Garage. 347-826-9964. If you are on a computer and Skype capable, just hit the Skype button. Should put you through to us loud and clear. Otherwise, you can leave a message in the Blog Talk Radio chat room. Excuse me. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. You can do that too. At Frat House Mike is how you can get me on Twitter. Now, I had forgotten. I mean, you miss a week, you miss a lot. Then you miss 2 weeks, you really miss a lot. And it was crazy trying to put the outline together for last night for this program. Because I found myself having to go back and do all kinds of research, not only on what happened in California, but then I had to go back the week before to go back to Phoenix because we missed that week. And I was just mentioning at the top of the program, great racing so far, guys. I mean, it's been exciting. We've had some really, really tight finishes. But from the standpoint, when you take a look at the leaderboard, kind of ho-hum. That's just my personal opinion on it. I don't know. Throw out your comments.
Well, JGR's had a pretty good start to the year. I think we've talked about that on a couple of the other shows, which is, you know, that's just the way it goes, ebb and flow. Sometimes you'll see the Hendrick cars up at the front. Sometimes you see the, you know, the Gibbs. Sometimes the Penske's. Just depends who's, you know, dialed in on the right setup. And I think right now, the Gibbs program as a whole is probably doing the best overall. I mean, yeah, as you pointed out, Jimmy Johnson won a race, Harvick's won a race, you know, other guys other than JGR cars have won. But, you know, we're seeing basically five, if you're going to count Truex as a satellite team, JGR cars running up front all the time. I think today, though, and I'm sure we'll get to this later when we start talking about Martinsville, I think you're going to see that balance out a little bit. I think the short track kind of takes away a bit of the, you know, any kind of handling or aerodynamic setups you can do because it's just a little different animal. And, you know, I've been perusing over all the practice speeds and it tells you quite a bit. You see some names you're not used to seeing. You see some other teams running up front it's kind of interesting.
The when we do get into talking about Martinsville a little bit, I think one of the things that kind of jumps out, at least jumped out to me, was taking a look at the qualifying order. A little bit mixed up there today. So you might actually be, you might be dead on there, Brandon, that we might see, I guess, kind of what I'm hoping for, which is the surprise winner. That's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that surprise winner. I think you'll see what I'm talking about when we finally get to our Eat My Dust picks, too. In a case like this at Martinsville, when you go at Martinsville, it would seem to me, because of the size of the track and what have you, you better be in the top 10 in order to run well, right?
Well, I think you could win from further back. It's just you can't have a car that's not running good from the start. In other words, the car's got to be making moves through the pack on that first run, because, you know, we've all seen these short tracks. You know, they're running 10 laps and the leader's caught the back of the field and putting people a lap down. You don't want to be one of those cars that, you know, you don't even make it to the first pit stop and you're already running a lap down, you know. But you could start, say, 20, 25th, maybe even as far back as 30th. And as long as your car's making progress through the field, you know, depending how the race goes, you might be okay. I mean, I'm looking at the starting lineup now, and you know, the last winner, Jimmy Johnson, starting 24th. That makes you wonder, you know, well, is he in trouble looking at lap down early in the race? Maybe. But, you know, we know they can adjust on the car. We've seen them change the car from being really horrible to being a winner by the end of a race. You know, you can't take your time, you know, because of the nature of a short track. But, yeah, it definitely helps. Your point's correct. It definitely helps you to start up front. But just because you're not doesn't mean you're totally done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure.
You know,
right.
to play crew chief here, you know, you're going to see a lot of pit strategy in this kind of race, because you're, as Brandon alluded to, you don't have a whole lot of aerodynamics really going into this race. You know, you're going to see cars running. If there's a wreck, you'll see cars running without the front, you know, the front clip of the car. Basically, it's just open motor, you know, and you'll see them running. You know what I mean? And finishing the race and actually, you know, not being too bad off, other than, you know, the fact that they're off the track for a little while. But because of that, you're going to see guys taking more chances on pit road. You know, for instance, a guy's a lap down, two laps down, maybe, you know, there's a caution. He may stay out and not even come in, depending on, you know, because, you know, again, with there not being too much aerodynamic in tires, you know, and it being a short track, you know, you might risk it. You might stay out to get that, you know, to get that position on the track back. And then the next time you come around, now you'll pit the next time, you know, in different strategies like that. So that, you know, that's how you make positions up. The other thing is, you know, like, you know, a Kyle Busch, you know, may not qualify, or even a Jimmy Johnson may not qualify so well, back of the pack. You know, 3-wide, you know, on the restart, you're grabbing your positions where you can get them, you know, things like that. One factor, though, is going to be temperament today. You know, because, you know, like we always say, you know, there's going to be a lot of beating and banging going on.
Yep. I was just going to bring that up, too, that, you know, one of the things I think we know from Martinsville is that we can expect that, we'll probably see a few more cautions as a result of just getting into a few guys. And frankly, I think that one of the things that we have seen, at least through the first five races of this year, and a lot of it might have to do with just the tracks we've been running at, but I got to give kudos a little bit to NASCAR. We haven't seen the number of cautions that I think, at least, that we've kind of become accustomed to. We don't see what's become known as those phantom debris cautions quite as much so far this season. And I, for one, like it. I think it makes for much, I like the straight on racing. Let's keep the cautions out of there. But because of the nature of Martinsville, I would anticipate that we're going to see, as you say, Sidekick, we're going to see quite a few of these today. Sidekick, your thoughts on the standing so far? I mean, anything jumping out of you from, I mean, are there any dark horses that you see hiding in the wings that possibly could come up here shortly? I mean, I keep coming back to Austin Dillon. He's currently sitting in 10th in the standings.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, the problem is, you know, you've got so many good teams, you know, like you were alluding to earlier, where you say, you know, it's really not much different than any other year. Oh, you know, no big surprises. One, it's still kind of early in the season.
Yes.
So the bigger teams early on in the season always have the advantage. They've got the numbers. Their programs are usually a little bit better. So, you know, you really don't start seeing some of these smaller teams. We also haven't had any rain shortened races or anything like that. And that's where, you know, and that's where you typically see some of these, you know, these winners come from, these surprise winners that all of a sudden out of nowhere, you know, like a, you know, a Jamie McMurray or, you know, something like that, you know, where it's like, what, wait, who won? Yeah, well, you go back and look, and it was either a rain-shortened race, or there was a big pile-up towards the end, you know, and it took out all the leaders, something like that. So I'm not too surprised at the standings right now, but I also don't think it's like it's you know, something to worry about, like, oh, here we go, just another season. You know, it's still early. You know, we still have plenty of racing to go. Yeah, it's like, you know, this is almost like a baseball season. You know what I mean?
It's actually longer.
But I do find one thing that is interesting this season is the rookie class, and you were alluding to it with, you know, and I'll throw kind of Austin Dillon in there as one of the younger drivers. You know, he seems to be really doing really well. You know, Chase Elliott is, you know, holding his own. I'm trying to think the other name just
Ryan Blaney.
Ryan Blaney. You know, he's out there repping the rookies and stuff. So, and they're running with the big names, you know. They're out there, you know, they're running with Jimmy Johnson. They're chasing Jimmy Johnson down. They're, you know. So I do like this year's rookie class, and I think that may be, if there's anything of a surprise, that may be the surprise. It's just how well some of these rookies are actually running.
No doubt about it. Chase Elliott right now sitting 16th in the standings. And what were some of the notes that I had made on Elliott? Currently 16th in the standings. He's 10th to start today at Martinsville, so he's in the top 10. And he's currently right now leading between, really, I mean, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, there's five rookies driving this year. And when you go to the point standings for Rookie of the Year, Chase Elliott just 5 points ahead of Ryan Blaney. And we have been saying, I think, for the past, first couple of races anyhow, that it seemed like it was probably going to be coming down, you know, with the young drivers, those rookie drivers, that it was probably going to be coming down between Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney anyhow. And it's starting to look like that's going to face up to be just that kind of a tight matchup all year long. Elliott is just, I mean, it's fun. It is just flat out fun to watch Elliott drive. It really is.
Right.
You know, jump in, anybody jump in.
Well, I have just to continue your standings thing, looking at the standings this year, five races into it. This is the most, what I would say, you know, almost chalk kind of standings you could think of, because normally you'll have a couple of big name guys who just can't seem to get, you know, started in the year. Like they'll have an accident, they'll have an engine failure, they'll have this, they'll have that. The worst thing I'm looking at on this board is Matt Kenseth sitting in 15th. That's about the biggest surprise that I'm looking at. I mean, everything else, you know, you pointed out Austin Dillon's doing a great job. He's up in 10th, and, you know, Elliott and Blaney are 16th and 17th. They're doing a great job as rookies. But, you know, there's really nothing looking through this board, I mean, there's really nothing that really surprises me as being, oh, my God, you know, this is out of whack. This guy should be a lot higher. You know, a lot of the mid-pack people are running, maybe more to the bottom than you'd expect. I mean, Danica's all the way down in 29th. Greg Biffle's in 27th. Casey Mears is a decent guy. He's in 26th. So the rookie guys are kind of displacing, you know, some of the more known mid-pack guys by running better. So, yeah, there's no real, you know, shockers, though. There's no, you know, there's no Jimmy Johnson sitting back in 29th. You know what I mean? There's, you know, everybody's pretty much where you'd expect, short of Matt Kenseth. I mean, Matt Kenseth has run very well and had a couple bad finishes at the end of races, but he's still 15th. He's not, you know, he's by no means in any trouble.
Exactly.
You know, all the everybody above him is pretty much where you'd expect him to be, short of maybe Austin Dillon. And you know, that's I'm glad to see Austin Dillon right up front.
And you know what's kind of deceptive about Chase Elliott being in 16th in the not. In the regular standings, not the rookie of the year standings, is he DNF'd the first two races?
Yep.
You know, he DNF'd.
That shows you how well he did in the other three.
Well, exactly. And that's why I say it's deceptive because you see, oh, okay, he's a rookie, he's in 16th. But, you know, he also chalked up the first two races. You know, and, you know, so, you know, he's actually, you know, all things considered, he's doing really well. You know, and he seems to overcome those, you know, early two DNFs, and hopefully he, you know, that's it. You know, he's got it out of his system for the season, you know. Now, but going back to, you know, what Brand was saying about, you know, where drivers are on the grid and, you know, oh, you know, Johnson's back or Junior's back or, you know, one name that is not on this list, and I think one of the reasons why we're not talking about a driver that is not doing so well is because Stewart's not been racing.
Thank you.
Because Stewart is the guy that we usually talk about. See, I know you, Mike.
I had just written down on a note over here, one of my post-it notes, I wrote Tony Stewart down because I thought, okay, we got to bring up Tony Stewart here for a moment, despite the fact I didn't include him in the outline. Does anybody have an update? Because I got to be honest, I was searching around last night in preparation for this program. I'm searching around last night trying to get an update, you know, going out and Googling Tony Stewart, trying to find any recent news.
He is rehabbing at the moment. And that's about as much news as nothing. I mean, even though we took the 2 week break, nothing's changed. You know, he was given the okay to start rehabbing. He's rehabbing, but it's almost gone dark since that time, almost like the show. in all seriousness, I mean, you know, there hasn't been any, I mean, and part of that may be because there was no race last weekend. There really wasn't any news last weekend coming out of NASCAR. You know what I mean? You know, I think really the last big news cycle stories that came out were about, you know, Danica and Kyle, you know, getting fined for various, you know, Danica because she, you know, got out of her car and was, you know, being Danica. And, you know, and then Kyle Busch getting all ticked off and not showing up, you know, pulling a Marshawn Lynch. Yeah. You know? But I think those are really the big, you know, the big stories.
And you're reminding me on that one, and I failed to put that in the outline because, of course, I had completely forgotten about it, and maybe we'll get to that. But going back to Stewart, the last report I have was the USA Today report from March 4th, which simply indicated that Stewart said outright, "I don't know when I'll return to racing." I mean, now I understand that that nobody's putting a timetable on it. We're not putting a time, and everybody I think kind of suspected that, you know, this wasn't going to be a 4 week absence. This was going to be a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting. I mean, I don't know. It just almost sounds like you got to wonder whether maybe he's almost even kind of like, I don't know, lost the juice or something. Go ahead, Brandon.
Well. I'll tell you, this is the way I see it happening. There's been, and I think I saw it addressed sort of on one of the Fox shows, you know, one of the pre-race shows the 1 week, you know, they said, well, you know, NASCAR is considering giving Tony a similar pass like they gave Kyle Busch last year, where, you know, if you get a win and get in your top 30, that, you know, you can make the chase. If that's the case, and they are willing to do that, I would venture a guess we'll see Tony Stewart before too much longer, or else there's no point. In other words, he's not going to be able to get – I mean, I think Kyle Busch missed, what, 10, 11 races and was still able to win three and then make the top 30. I don't think Tony Stewart can even go that far. If he's not back by, like, race eight, I don't think Tony Stewart's chances of making the top 30 and getting a winner are very good. You know what I mean? So, you know, if it goes past, you know, week eight, week 10, I think you might not see him till the end, you know, or when he's 100%.
I would agree with you. If you were to project what Tony Stewart could do this year in a shortened season, if you were to project that based upon his performance last year, Brandon, I would agree with you. There's no way he could replicate what Kyle Busch did. Because while the Stewart-Haas team ran well, what was running well? It was Kurt Busch and it was Kevin Harvick. Tony did not run well last year. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to be exactly the same case this year, but simply using that as a barometer, you would have to say that Brandon's absolutely correct. There's no way that he could probably do what Kyle Busch did in a JGR machine, right?
Well, the only reason I brought that up is that would be the only sense of urgency for Tony, is if he wants to try to make the chase in his last year, because I think he's already come out and said, yeah, I'm still retiring. This doesn't change that.
Right.
You know, he hasn't backtracked and said, oh, well, maybe I'll do another week, a year. He's pretty much said he's sticking to it. So, you know, I think he wants – honestly, some of these guys, I think when they get to, you know, like Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart's age and they have other things going on in their lives, the daily grind of going to 36 races, you know, week in and week out with very few breaks, I think it wears a toll on them. And you know, Tony Stewart can go run dirt cars whenever the hell he wants. You know what I mean? He don't have to run every week if he doesn't want to run every week. I mean, Jeff Gordon chose to do TV commentary for half the year. You know, the rest of the year is, you know, once Fox is done, are we going to hear from Jeff Gordon much throughout the year? Probably not. I mean, that's just the way it goes when, you know, the main guy goes, you know, the main broadcast team. Like, in years past, we haven't heard much from Darrell Waltrip after Fox is done. So... Right.
Yeah, you'll hear from Larry Mack, but
well,
you
Larry
probably...
Mack's different, yeah, because Larry Mack does a lot of the support shows for Fox. He's on a lot of them pre-race and post-race stuff, and he likes it. He's into the whole TV thing.
Yeah,
but he's one of those.
He's the best on that broadcast, anyhow.
Yeah.
We've all said that.
I was gonna say,
oh, yeah.
He was a very good crew chief. I think he's even better on TV than he was as a crew chief. And this guy, you know, won races with Dale Earnhardt, you know, and Davey Allison, and you know, he was a great crew chief for a big team. I mean, Robert Yates Racing, that Texaco 28 car back in the 80s and 90s, that car was considered the best, and he was the crew chief. So, you know, that's saying a lot.
You know, since you brought up the comparison between Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart, another comparison you can bring into, and unfortunately I think it doesn't bode well for Tony Stewart, is one of the reasons that Jeff got out was, remember, he suffered all those hits with those back injuries.
Yep.
It's hard, you know, you can race with a broken leg and in like a boot kind of thing or whatever, however they were hooking that up, you know, and you can, different ailments you can race with. Sitting strapped into that car with a bad back and back pain is brutal. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, Jeff was like, yeah, you know, I don't know if I can do this much longer. That's why I don't think we're going to see Tony till later in the season. And what you were saying about, you know, getting the golden ticket to, you know, hey, if, as long as you come back and you get your win and you get top 30, you know, you qualify for the chase, I can see Tony eking into the top 30. I don't know if I can see Tony getting a win. That's the hard part, I think, for Tony. And that's really what's going to, you know, is getting a win.
Here's a little bit of irony about that. His car is starting third today. And
yeah.
Vickers has been running good all week.
Yep,
I've been going through the practice notes here, and Brian Vickers has been up front with that car. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what that says. So,
I gotta think
Tony Stewart and NASCAR and everybody involved would love to see Tony in the chase, considering it's his last year.
He's a
multiple-time champ, but does he have the ability to get it done? I mean, Kyle did, yes.
There comes a point. There's a threshold to the schedule.
Yep.
Where NASCAR simply can't bend the rule or the rules. I don't care how many times they want to change things, and God knows, we all know NASCAR changes things at a whim, you know. But there comes a point when they just can't, you know, just for the sake of, having a soft spot in your heart, modify the rules and still be taken legitimately. I mean, there's a threshold on the schedule where it's just going to become impossible to do it.
They caught a little grief about the Kyle Busch thing last year.
Well, they sure did.
I was going to say.
and yet,
the model they're using.
Sure, but nobody here, once you saw what Kyle was doing coming back, there wasn't a single one of us that would have disqualified him.
Well, but you know the thing about Kyle, there was two things with the Kyle Busch thing, you know, with how Kyle Busch got into the chase and won the championship last year. The first was you had everybody that was all bent out of shape about letting Kyle Busch into the chase after missing however many races he missed. But the other thing was that almost bordered on the conspiracy theory was how he came back and just was dominating everything and then kind of went away for a while. And then everybody was like, oh, okay, you know, I see. We're gonna let Kyle Busch rack off all this wins so he can get his into the chase. And like I said, it was so spectacular that it almost borderlined on, is this really happening or are we seeing a little, you know, hey, we need Kyle, you know, we miss Kyle Busch. We need to get Kyle Busch into the chase to save this season. So you guys need to lay back and let him get a couple wins or something, you know, something weird like that. Now, obviously, we, you know, most of us, you know, logically thinking NASCAR fans know that that isn't what happened, but it sure did seem like it when you started seeing him rattle it off.
You're making a pretty good case there, Sidekick.
If you want to take it to a conspiracy level, I don't think it would involve everybody else laying back. NASCAR's actually has, to be honest with you, in today's NASCAR, they have the ability to create a conspiracy more so now than they ever did. And that would be very simply, they could allow them to cheat with the EFI. If they wanted to make a team run well, they could allow a team to put a different chip in the EFI and just not catch it and not penalize them and let them get a performance advantage on the track. I mean, let's get this straight. The cars are now very different than they used to be. You know, I'm not saying NASCAR would do that, but let's just say, to spell out what we just said, Kyle Busch is hurt. He's back. We want him to come back with a vengeance. You know, somebody from NASCAR could say to Gibbs, hey, do whatever you need to do to make that car run good, put a better chip in it. We'll look the other way for a few weeks. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility, and they could keep it very, you know, contained. They wouldn't have to involve other teams to do it. it's not that far out of the realm of possibility if you think about it.
Cars are a lot more pliable from that particular standpoint without detection.
Well, NASCAR is willing to
overlook it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's not like you have other teams watching the inspections.
It's a disgraceful thought, I got to be honest with you.
Well,
remember when they switched to the EFI, remember how they put everything on the dashboard of the car so everybody could see everything all laid out, all the electronics? You know, I mean, if you just had a different chip in it, you would never know. One computer chip that controls it is going to look like the next. And if you wanted to make a cheater chip, you'd make it the same color or whatever their guidelines are. They could do it very easily. They could do it more so easily now than they could have in the past, in my opinion. I mean, the old thing was, in the past, if they wanted to do it, they could tell a team, yeah, go ahead, run a little bit bigger motor. We won't check your your motor for size at the end. Well, that's not as guaranteed almost. You know, with this fuel injection, they could get a car running out there with, you know, 20, 25, 30 more horsepower with you know, a blink of an eye just by changing, you know, the air fuel mixture that the car is putting through it. So it's probably if NASCAR wanted to control an outcome, it's a lot easier for them to try it than ever. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just building on Sidekick's conspiracy theory. Because I've thought about this before. Well, that was always NASCAR's big argument. Well, you know, we have no way of maintaining. We have no control. You know, people could, you know, cheat. That's why we stayed with, you know, for 25 years out of a carburetor that, you know, the technology was ancient. You know, NASCAR, you know, stuck to that forever. And they were getting killed, really, because technologically it was the dumbest thing they could do. So that's why they resisted so long with going to the EFI. Well, now we have things with drag racing, but I think drag racing is more different.
Yeah, there you go.
That's not the one I wanted.
Oh, yeah, but it works. It works. That works.
yeah. I was looking for the...
Look, and I'm not saying... I'm not making a claim there. Is a conspiracy. I'm just saying, if you ever wanted to suspect NASCAR of manipulating the outcome, I think they have a better vehicle to do it than they ever did. That's just that's my.
There we go. That was the one I was looking for.
Calling all conspiracy theorists, 347-826-9964. Call in, chime in. We're right in your wheelhouse today. I got to tell you, you know, I hear everything you're saying, and I concur with you, and that's what makes me nervous.
So now that we wonder, did Kyle Busch have a little bit of performance advantage when he came back last year or not?
I'm an excellent driver.
Yeah, right.
That's Kyle's stand.
That's Kyle.
Oh, we found the soundboard this morning.
Well, how about this? If Tony Stewart does come back in the next few weeks and he comes out and rips off like 3 wins in a row, boy, then we'll really got a good show.
Yeah,
going, won't we?
Yeah, we're gonna have a lot to talk about.
Oh my God, can you imagine? We see a repeat of last year.
Oh Jesus.
Oh my God, we'd have to change the name of the show. You know.
Yeah.
Oh man, alive. Yeah, I don't know. It's a scary. I mean, and here we are. We're sitting here talking about this kind of stuff. You know what? A few hours before WrestleMania.
Oh yeah.
Right. Well, you know, and to go back to Tony real quick. You know, with him saying that, you know, coming out and saying that, you know, hey, I'm retiring this season. It's done. It's over. I think part of that is he's contractually kind of painted himself into a corner with announcing, hey, you know, next year Clint Boyer's coming in, taking my seat, doing a lot of, you know, they've already done a lot of contractual stuff with setting up for next year already, that for him to go and say, you know, we're going to push this back a year.
Yeah, but, you know, let me ask you on that one, though, Sidekick, because do you really think that Tony Stewart's sponsors would be, you know, I don't think they would be disappointed one bit if he decided to make one more run at it next year.
Well, no.
The only issue I would see would be the logistics of having that extra car in the lineup next year if, in fact, they proceed with bringing Boyer on.
Well, they
that's
couldn't.
Be
they can't
can.
Have. They
oh,
can't
they
have
can. Okay.
More than four.
All right.
So that's
there you go.
And the other problem here that I think is a bigger issue is not Tony's sponsors; it's the sponsors Clint Boyer's bringing on. And you got to think Stuart Haas is liking these checks they're going to be cashing from 5-Hour Energy, and you know Clint Boyer has always been a good sponsor guy. He's never been a guy who's had troubles picking him up for some reason.
What would be? What would stop? Say. Stuart Haas from quietly funding a car for a one-car team.
Well, they are kind of now, this year, with H. Scott Motorsports. They're providing engines and chassis development to H. Scott Motorsports. But the car still doesn't get out of its own way.
But yeah. they could, couldn't they do something like that for Clint Bowyer for next year?
Well, that's what they're doing for Clint Bowyer this year. So I don't know. They could, but I think like Sidekick said, I think they already have too much in place because they announced everything last year, you know, and don't forget Stuart Haas is going to Ford next year too. So that would complicate matters. You know, if they were to try to keep a fifth car, they'd have to come up with a new plan because, or, you know, somebody else would have to switch manufacturers. You know, they can't have a satellite car running, you know, Chevy. So I don't think there's any way that turns back. Now, there's nothing precluding from occasionally you can have a fifth car for select events. Like, say Tony wanted to come back and run a race or two. I think he can do that, but you can't do a whole season. Although, maybe not. Maybe the charter system now.
I was wondering,
I think the charter system kind of threw a wrench in that. Because we saw Michael Waltrip run Daytona. But he was, he was on some weird team somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's because MWR went away, though. I mean,
well, right. But I'm saying, he went in for one of these other, he was racing in a non-charter team.
Yeah. Well, when Michael Waltrip would run when they had MWR going with three, he'd run a fourth car. They'd run a fourth car.
But that was Daytona. Right. And I think it's Daytona, and I think that, we already know a lot of times the rules are a little different at Daytona, right?
Let's put it this way. If a team wants to bend the rules with a fifth car, there's ways around it, but it's still not, I don't know that they could do it for a full-time season. Like you guys are saying, say Tony would decide to run. I don't know how they would do it. It would probably be – it's probably already out of the realm of possibility at this point.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee Tony,
they're already filming commercials for Clint Bowyer in the 14 car.
Yeah.
And making promo material.
I'm sure Tony's probably tired or beaten down a little bit over these past 4 years, 4 to 5 years. Yeah, they haven't been the best years for him. And it's not really on track. It's all the off track stuff. I mean, and that's the only problem I see with giving him the golden ticket like they gave Kyle Busch last year. Kyle Busch at least got hurt in a NASCAR sanctioned event.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Stewart got hurt racing buggies out in the sand dunes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, everybody was all against Kyle Busch getting it last year. And I was like, well, no, if Kyle Busch was at Eldora or some other place and had hurt himself, I can see the argument made for not giving it to him because it was extracurricular. Yeah, that word.
I got one.
It's been a while since
I
did that. But, Tony wasn't at any kind of NASCAR event. He was out playing around on the side. I kind of feel like saying, Tony, what the hell were you think? What did you think you were doing there, bro?
Like he likes
Come
to
on,
do.
Come on now.
I think if you just keep it broad as a medical exemption. I mean, that's what they called it for Kyle. I don't think they want to get into the semantics of how the injury occurred because that opens a door for NASCAR. They don't want to deal with. If you're going to say it's a medical exemption, it's a medical exemption either way. I mean, I don't really have a problem with it that much. I think the bigger issue would be, I think you're dealing with two different guys. I mean, I think Kyle Busch, everybody expected him to be running for the chase as be one of the top, one or two or three guys in it. And I don't think anybody had those expectations for Stewart going into this year. I think that's your difference, and we'll see. I mean, Tony has to get healthy enough to even come back to make this argument even matter. So far,
knowing this was Tony's last year, as a Stewart fan, I was really excited to see this year with him, and hoping that he made the chase and, and seeing what he could do this season, hoping that there wouldn't be any of this, other stuff going on in the background, and Tony would get the race, all the races, and, you know, if he, you know, wasn't performing well, you know, okay, well, yeah, it's probably time for Tony to go, but I was at least hoping to see him make the chase. You know what I mean? And then, you know, all my, you know, like I was excited to go to Daytona and see, you know, Tony's last Daytona 500 and, you know, kind of all went to, you know.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I've always been a Stewart fan. I never disliked Tony. You know, I always like him. He's one of my guys I'd like to root for, so.
All the more reason I'm saying that, you know, it's some of that you're talking about there, Sidekick, that somehow or another it just wouldn't surprise me if pressure were even applied to Stewart to, depending on that is depending on when he does come back this season, and like I said, you know, if as Brandon says, it's by like race 8 or 9 or something like that, okay, then fine, you still have the majority of the season. But if it starts getting into mid-season and beyond, and now he's ready to come back, but there's probably no chance that he could make the chase, I could see pressure being applied to do one more year. That's and it's kind of going to what you're saying, that, you know, I don't know. It's just that I don't want him doing it unless his heart's in it. I kind of get the sense from some of the things that I've read that, I don't know, like you say, Psychic, it might just be that he's just, like, mentally worn down.
Right. And that's what I think he needs. I could almost say I wouldn't be surprised if he pulled a Brett Favre kind of thing where he goes to being an owner for a year or two, and then all of a sudden he starts getting that itch. You know, but the only difference is with, and I think this is part of the reason why he's stepping away from NASCAR, is he's got the itch and he's always had the itch to race.
Yep.
And that's the problem. You know, we see him out in the sand dunes racing buggies. He's, you know, he's at dirt tracks. He's all these other places. And it, you know, that's what he really wants to do. He was just racing in Sprint Cup. Because
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, he was getting paid in Sprint Cup, you know, and that afforded him the opportunity to do all this other stuff. And then he went out and he bought a dirt track and he did some other stuff that, you know, and, you know, so that he could kind of set himself up where, hey, I got enough money coming in. I'm a team owner now. I own some dirt tracks. I got enough money. I don't need to race in Sprint Cup. And now I can go race out, you know, all these other places, and I can, you know, go almost be a full-time racing ambassador,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, kind of like that he is, where, you know, he's doing all this other side stuff, you know, promoting the sport, and NASCAR doesn't necessarily need him, and he doesn't need NASCAR.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't need to be in the car racing trying to make money. He's now, you know, he's now a team owner. He's now got all this other stuff going on. You know what I mean?
I got you. I'm looking in the chat room. Liz, our friend Liz, says she doesn't think Tony will pull a Mark Martin. You know, I'm kind of who am I thinking of? The wide receiver who got hurt early, Steve Smith. Was Steve Smith this year? Said he was going to retire, and now he's going to be coming back for one more season, I think, right? Wide receiver in football. Do I have that right?
Yes, he did. Yeah. He is coming back.
Yeah. So kind of the same thing there, you know. Steve Smith wanted that final year. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I think, you know, obviously we have to wait and see how long it's going to be before, you know, when Tony actually does come back. But
yeah.
All right, let's get over and take a look at Martinsville. And one of the things that I found interesting was and I think, Brandon, you alluded to it, how things could get perhaps maybe a little bit mixed up today. excuse me. The qualifying lineup, I think, is rather interesting because there's some drivers in there that you wouldn't necessarily think would be in top 10. first of all, Casey Kane's up there. He's running out of the second spot. You mentioned Vickers coming out of the third spot, Menard coming out of four, Newman coming out of five, Almendinger coming out of six, Elliott coming out of 10. Interesting lineup. We're not seeing, you know, I didn't actually get a chance to watch qualifying or to follow it real closely. I don't know. I mean, interesting qualifying. You're not seeing, as we talked about, we're not seeing the big, big names up front there. Kurt Busch coming out of 23, Dale Jr. coming out of 21. Where did we say Jimmy Johnson is? Carl Edwards
24.
Coming out of 25. 20, okay, 24, Jimmy Johnson. So
yeah,
some of the bigger names are shuffled to the back. Go ahead.
Looking at the transitions, you know, I'm looking at the results from the practices. Some of it held true. I mean, Casey Kane led the last practice before qualifying. Newman and Truex were up there. Junior was sixth, so clearly he had some kind of issue on his lap. You know, if he ran sixth, you know, in practice and then, you know, slowed down to, where is he, like 20th? He's pretty far back. 21st, excuse me. Yeah, so there's a few surprises. Could be, you know, looking at the speeds, it looks like a lot of teams stepped it up. Maybe they, you know, a lot of these teams up at the front that you don't see running at the front of practices may have not ran a full-fledged, you know, qualifying lap in practice. So that may be account for some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think it's going to be a good race. I think, you have a pretty good mix of guys, you know, at the front. And you know, even just like you said, looking at the top ten, you got quite a few different names that you don't see. I mean, like Casey Kane hasn't been up there. Vickers, Menard, Newman, A.J. Allmendinger is running sixth. Lizzo, love that. You know, he's starting from the sixth spot. So it's like, you know, you got and Casey there in tenth. It's a nice mix. I mean, yeah. Your Kyle Busch and your Hamlin and Kenseth—they're all up there too. But I think it's going to be an interesting race.
And you know, I think right now the driver that's running that has the most wins. I think before Gordon retired, I think it was Gordon. But now active drivers, Jimmy Johnson, I believe, leads all with 8 wins here. Denny Hamlin comes in second with 5. Jimmy Johnson, as I just pointed out, coming out of the 24th spot. Denny Hamlin, though, coming out of the 8. Now, I think we know with Johnson, it doesn't seem to matter. We've seen that guy come from dead last, even a number of times just this season. Come all the way from dead last and end up in the top 3, top 4, top 5. So, you know, I guess as you're pointing out, or as has already been pointed out a couple of times in this program, you know, pay no never mind to where Jimmy Johnson's qualifying, because that doesn't seem to make any difference at all. Thoughts, sir, sidekick on Martinsville?
Yeah, like I said earlier, this is really going to be a temper thing.
And patience.
Yeah. Well, and actually, you know, question I got kind of for Brandon, do you think we're seeing some of these teams that are up front run their qualifying setup so that they could get that up front qualifying position? Not necessarily, you know, so if they're at least in the front of the pack so that, you know, like Mike was alluding to earlier in the show that, you know, you're up front, it's easier for you to stay up front than if you're in the back and try to make your way up. Yeah, because that's what I'm wondering. If some of these guys didn't, you know, have their qualifying set up, you know, not necessarily set up for race day as much as it was just to get to the front of the pack, and then they're going to kind of tweak on it and hope that they can stay up there.
Interesting.
I mean, it could be. I mean, yeah, they're at a short track, you want to stay up front. But, you know, you still got to run 500 laps. And if your car is not good for the long run, it's going to show pretty quick. You're going to be in people's way. They're going to be moving you. You know, you might find the wall a little early that way. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, there's something, too, starting up front. But you don't want to be a slug either.
I think there is a bit of a fine line to it. As well as keep an eye on the brakes, I think.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well,
you're gonna have a lot of brake wear.
One thing that I find at short tracks is a good barometer. If you look at the third practice, which happened after qualifying, the cars that qualified well and still ran well in that third practice, you're looking at guys like Kyle Larson, Vickers, Kyle Busch, Newman, Truex, Jimmy Johnson. Now, Jimmy Johnson didn't qualify that well, but he's up in the top there. Casey Kane's ninth. I think those are the ones you're going to see, you know, stay up there. I mean, even Joey Logano, who's on the pole, is only the 12th fastest in final practice. So he may be a little bit of that, what you're alluding to, where they put a little extra into the qualifying setup to get up front, but maybe not be the best car right off the get-go. They may have to work on it a little bit. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, you have quite a few of the top guys who qualified, you know, up in the front. And they're not the, you know, they're the Vickers and Newmans and, you know, some of them names, Casey Kane, that aren't been running up front. So that could make it interesting to see some different guys up at the front early.
And I, for one, I'm going to be honest. I've said this before. I'm a fan of the bigger tracks personally. I don't like the smaller tracks. I like you're even going to see slower speeds here. You could see that just from the qualifying numbers and what have you. Logano gets the pole with a speed of 97 miles an hour. So, you know, you're going to see the slower, somewhat slower speeds. I like the wide open, the bigger tracks where they open it up and they're flying. I think the smaller tracks, and I know that there's two schools of thought on it. There are some people that just love them and hate the big tracks. Excuse me, hate the big tracks. I find the small tracks to be tedious.
Well, you know, I understand that. I like pretty much all the tracks. You know, I do like road courses because it's a different, you know, it's a change of pace. I like the small tracks because I like when the guys are beating and banging off each other and, you know, and tempers are flaring and, you know, that kind of thing. You know, you get to see more of the driver's personality, I guess, per se. The only thing, you know, the knock I have on the short tracks is you're talking a 500 lap race. You know, and it's like Dover sometimes is hard for me to watch. You know, because it looks like they're just doing this up and down kind of wave thing, you know. And it's, you know, you're like, what lap are they on? Oh, they're on 100, you know, 125. You know, at one of the other tracks, 125, it's like three quarters of the way through the race.
Yeah.
125 at Dover's only a quarter of the way through the race.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. And it's like, oh, my God.
But
500
at the half
laps
mile, at the half mile here, you're going to be doing, you're going to see laps being eaten up so fast. That's the one thing I always notice is that you're right. It's 500 laps,
yeah.
And it seems laborious. Tedious to watch, but you're going to be running. I mean, all of a sudden you'll be looking up and it's going to, 100 laps have been run already. Well, at any other racetrack, that might be 50 of those or less.
Yeah, well, I think the long green runs when you do get them at Martinsville tend to make the race seem a bit, what's the word, monotonous, I guess. You know, because it is a lot of follow the leader. You can't see, you know, every, you know, it's just hard. They don't repack it. I mean, you see the good cars clearly run away, and then, you know, there's not a caution to bunch everything back up. You know, we've actually, if I'm not mistaken, I do remember at one point, I'm going to say probably in the late 80s, early 90s, Jeff Bodine, which is a name you haven't heard in a long time, actually, I think he won a caution-free race at Martinsville, as hard as that would be to imagine.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, I think there was one race where they literally ran it nonstop without a caution. And so it can be done. But, you know, it's not something and if I recall, the race was absolutely boring. You might have had two or three cars left on the lead lap, if that. You know, there was no question as to who was going to win unless they, you know, blew a tire or blew the engine. I mean, it was one of those where there was no intrigue at all at that point.
I was going to say there must have been a whole load of cars that were laps down, laps and laps and laps down.
At least some laps down there.
Oh, my God.
It was entertaining, but it can happen, and I get how, you know, you can say it's laborious, but, you know, if you get it that they, you know, you get it, say you get a caution every, I don't know, 50, 60 laps, I think short tracks are fun that way, if it works out that way. keep the cars, you know, more cars on the lead lap, more people competing. You know, obviously we all know every crew chief's making adjustments every caution or every time they pit for tires and gas to try to make the car better. You know, I think it makes it more interesting with the, you know, if the cars don't get too, you know, you don't get half the field lap down before the first, you know, caution flag, you know what I mean?
Yep. A caution-free race at Martinsville, everybody must have been on their very, very, very best behavior. Honest to God. That's just,
yeah.
That's incredible. That's incredible. All right. Where do I want to go here? We've talked a lot on these airwaves over, well, let's see, you know, Frat House Sports has been running for 5 years, almost 5 years. We've talked a lot about concussions, head trauma, and CTE, but we've always been talking about it pretty much with regard to the NFL because that's where it has been an issue. Well, it's suddenly become an issue here in NASCAR. And it started, I guess, last week with the announcement from Dale Jr. that he planned on donating his brain for research. He apparently suffered two concussions, I think, in I think it was 2012. And then he came out, and there were additional explanations. He made additional explanations about it because I guess there were some people questioning why he came out with that announcement. And then Jimmy Johnson, his teammate, chimes in, and he comes in and says he frankly feels that they need a better protocol testing in NASCAR. We were talking a little bit about this year, Brandon, the other day, and you had made the point, well, you could, I mean, you know, listen, concussions positively could be a thing. Absolutely positively could be a thing in NASCAR.
Yeah, I think they've gone a long way to help it in NASCAR. I think where you're seeing it, where you still could see it in motorsports is at the lower levels. I mean, NASCAR spends thousands of dollars building a custom seat that even includes like a, like almost a cradle for their head so that
right.
their head can't bounce too far and bounce off of things. And it's all very padded and cushioned and all that, where I think at the lower levels of racing, you know, the money ain't there to do that. I mean, yes, a lot of the lower levels are implementing rules like you must run a Hans device or something of the sort. You know, they're trying to make the safety better. But I think, you know, NASCAR Sprint Cup racing and pretty much every form of NASCAR, I would think the trucks and the Xfinity cars have it now too. That, you know, they have the money to put, you know, a driver in a cocoon and try to keep him safer. Where, you know, I think it's the lower levels. Like I would say, you know, we know Dale Jr. had the, it came out, you know, two concussions within a couple race period a few years ago, you know, it still can happen, you know? So I think it's one of those things that's got to be, you know, the more attention they pay to preventing this kind of thing, I think the better off it is for everybody. And it, and I think it's going to apply to any sport where you can have this kind of thing. I mean, you know, for years we've talked about, you know, football because football is the hardest hitting kind of thing, I guess, is what you want to say, where it takes the biggest toll in your body. But, you know, I think it can apply to any kind of sport that you know, an impact could occur and cause, you know, a concussion. And I think it's a good thing that these drivers are speaking out about it, you know, because the more they speak about it, the harder the safety guys work to make it better.
Sure. I kind of come down on both sides of this a little bit. Sidekick, jump in, because, again, when it comes to this kind of thing, I kind of always lean on you because I know that you've done some research in this area. I kind of come down on this.
I've had my head knocked around a few times. I was dropped on my head as a baby. Now, I've got some experience in this field. Now,
I got to get Carol on the line. Carol, what's this about?
You know, the one thing, and I was kind of waiting for you guys to get through, because one of the things I was going to bring up was, you know, with all the safety that NASCAR puts into it, and I almost want to say that NASCAR was probably inadvertently a leader in this, because they've always been worrying about you know, the driver and, you know, the helmets and, you know, because you're, you know, yeah, football, you got two guys running at each other, battering rams, you know. But in NASCAR, you're in a car 200 miles an hour, and then you hit a wall. So you're going from 200 to zero, potentially, you know, in like that. You know, so I think inadvertently they've almost been a kind of a leader in like helmet and stuff like that. But regardless of how much safety that they put in, you have to remember that the brain is basically floating in your skull. You know what I mean? So as much as they put Hans devices in and Cocoon drivers in, you know, you're still, you know, your brain is still traveling at 198 miles an hour. In your, you know, in your skull, and when you hit something, nothing's going to keep that brain necessarily from rattling around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see, like, you know, Dale Jr. with his concussions. You know, the impact is, can still cause concussions. They can do what they want to try to limit how much, you know, you bounce around in the car, but you know, it's, you know, just the physics behind it. You're still going to have that bruising and, you know, stuff for the concussions. So there's always that. The other thing is, I think it's good that, you know, even though, like Dale says, oh, you know, I had two concussions, you know, and I want to, you know, I want to have my brain, you know, donate my brain so that it can be studied. I think that's great because it helps broaden the pool of data that that they're studying. You know what I mean? You know, you got some of these guys, you know, some of these football guys that have had numerous concussions. We talked about this Thursday on our flagship show, the Fratto Sports Show, every Thursday on Blog Talk Radio.
Zing. At 7 p.m. At 7 p.m.
7 p.m. Eastern.
Live.
thumbs up, you know, my Mick Foley that people can't see. You know, so I think that, you know, having Dale Jr. and having some of these other, you know, race car drivers and soccer players, you know, it broadens the pool of data. You know, it's good to see where someone that maybe had two or three concussions, what their brain looks like versus someone who suffered one concussion or someone who suffered 10 concussions.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I think it just helps the data and the research, and that now I'm kind of glad to see it, you know. Just like we're seeing, you know, we saw pro wrestlers have come out and they've said, hey, you know, Kevin Nash, I'm donating my brain and things like that, because I think it just overall helps the research. And I think that's why you're seeing people like Dale Jr. and some of these other, you know, some soccer players and other people saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to donate my brain so that you can study it, because, you know, it's a big issue. Yeah, you know, it's probably one of the biggest medical issues right now. You know, when you talk about any kind of sport,
mm-hmm.
and that, so.
Well, and that's where I come down on the other side of it. And I at the risk of sounding insensitive, where I become somewhat incredulous is in whether the motivation of some people like Jimmy Johnson jumping in and making comments. But mind you, Jimmy Johnson didn't step forward and say, oh, listen, by the way, I'm going to donate my brain as well. No, what he does is he jumps in and points at NASCAR and says, we need better protocols. Well, I, at the risk of sounding, like I said, insensitive, I worry that there are athletes in other sports that now are trying to capitalize on what you're referring to there, Sidekick, as this being kind of the hot button. This is the hot button ailment. And so let's make this an issue when perhaps maybe, is it an issue? That's the only thing. That's what I'm saying. That's where some people are going to read me and say, you know, I'm being insensitive to the whole thing. That's the only thing that concerns me about it. Because as everybody knows, what I'm trying to do is preserve sports. That's what I'm trying to do. And I am gravely concerned that CTE, head trauma, concussions, could quickly become a cash cow.
I was trying to kind of bite my lip, but since you brought it up, Jimmy Johnson, this dude just whines about anything. I mean, we would have been better off if Jimmy Johnson had just kept his damn mouth shut and let Dale Jr. say, I'm donating my brain, blah, blah, blah. You know, now, if Jimmy had come out and said, look, I'm going to donate my brain as well because I think this is an issue
exactly.
and we need to address this.
Exactly.
Yes. But the fact that you just ran your mouth and said, oh, well, you know, we need to have better. You know what? You're always, oh, we need to have better this and better that. And, you know, and then you go off and do whatever it is that, you know, some kid from El Segundo, California does. You know, daddy's little, you know, silver spoon, you know. Get out of here.
Well, look, hang on. I'm not going to sit here and defend Jimmy Johnson or anybody else who comes out, but I think there's a lot to what Sidekick was saying, that the more research they can get from this, because let's face it, a concussion in a 200-mile-an-hour race car is not going to be the same concussion a football player gets. There's going to be different amounts of G-force, different impacts, and I think the more data that the doctors and scientists have, the better off all it's going to be for all sports. So, yeah, okay, maybe Jimmy Johnson's being self-serving, hopping on board a bandwagon and you know, whatever. But the end result, I think, is going to be good for all the sports, because if they can design better equipment to prevent it, then what Frass Mike just said, this purity of the sport will remain. I think the better the safety equipment is in any sport, the less likely you're going to see changes to the sport. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, like, if they can make it that you can compete the same way with a less risk of injury, I think that's better for the sport long term than anything else.
Agreed.
So, yeah. All
agreed.
Right. So let him thump his chest and be his bandwagon jumper, whatever, because I think it's going to be better for sports. The more different types of head injuries doctors and scientists can look at after the fact when these guys do pass, I think it'll help them develop better, you know, better safety equipment. I think that's the end result that's going to keep sports the way we like it.
I know. I hear you. And see, this is where I'm kind of torn, because while I agree with you, I'm just, you know, I get worried that some unscrupulous ambulance chaser out there is going to suddenly kind of try to twist these kinds of circumstances, regardless of what the sport would be, to benefit themselves somehow or another financially. That's what worries me. That's all I'm saying. So,
well, and to go back to the NFL, that's where I think the NFL kind of, with this concussion thing, kind of got it right by telling the attorneys, look, this settlement, and I don't know if it was the NFL or the court system, I forget exactly who you know really came up with that idea, but I like the idea that they said, hey, here's this fund, you know, this multi-million-dollar fund or whatever it was that's getting set up, you know, for players. The lawyers do not get a piece of that at all.
Yeah,
so
but that doesn't mean that they're not getting paid.
I agree. They're still getting paid. But, you know, the typical model is, you know, they take 30% off the top.
Sure.
What
the court is saying is to the NFL and to any other parties, hey, lawyer fees, you take care of those out of your cut. We're not taking that out of the fund, period.
Right.
Which is the right thing to do. I hear you. But that's not to say that those guys aren't seeing their, you know,
they're getting padded. They're going to get paid either way. If you're going to have these large dollar funds set up for research or compensation or whatever, I just think that the lawyers shouldn't be able to, you know, like in a civil, you know, car accident. You know, where, you know, you get awarded $100,000 for a car accident, and the lawyer automatically takes 30 off the top before they pay the doctor bills or any of that other stuff. You know what I mean? That's grotesque to me, you know, and the fact that they can't do that in these concussion lawsuits, class action lawsuits and things, I think is, you know, is a good thing versus them saying, okay, well, you know, here's your $1 billion trust fund. And, you know, the lawyers are all going to skim 30% off the top of that. So now you're down to, you know, you know, your $1 billion now is what, you know, $700 million
right.
or whatever, you know.
Right.
That, you know. So.
Right. Got you. All right. I just want to bring this up real quick, and then we're going to jump over and take a look at NHRA real fast, and then we'll get into our fantasy stuff and our picks for the week and all that kind of stuff. But I found this kind of amusing, guys. We've talked about Jeff Gordon and being up in the broadcast booth, and he's done a great job. You know, I think he's very, very enjoyable to listen to. I find most of his comments to be absolutely relevant, and frankly, the longer he goes, I think the more irrelevant he absolutely makes DW look.
Yes.
But what's really, really, what I found really, really amusing about this, and Brandon made a comment earlier, and I was going to chime in on it. Brandon made the comment, well, you know, we probably won't hear from Jeff Gordon much after the Fox broadcasts are done. Well, yeah, you're right. We won't. And as it is right now, the drivers don't want to hear from him at all. Jeff Gordon apparently was lamenting the other day that he doesn't so much miss all the competition and the driving and the fans and, you know, going from one race to the next. What he misses the most, he says, are the group texts where drivers talk about issues in the sport and things that need to be addressed. Less than a year after he retired, he got kicked off the chain. Apparently, all the drivers must have a, you know, they do a group thing, you know, texting, where they, I guess, bitch and moan about everything. And, you know, Jeffy's not, exactly, I got no problem with it. Jeffy's not in the group anymore. And he feels a bit slighted. He feels slighted by that.
Come on, you're in the broadcast booth now, buddy.
Exactly. Hey, you got to know your role. That's what it comes down to. I thought that was rather amusing.
Well, they don't want to share their inside secrets with the guy who could tell the world about them.
Exactly. I mean, he's going to be great. He's going to be broadcasting it. And I mean, technically, he's a journalist now, so he has an obligation to report, right?
Yep.
So I brought it up.
You know, and we were real quick, and we were talking about Larry Mack, you know, about what Larry McReynolds brings to the broadcast. I think it's great now with Jeff Gordon in, because Jeff Gordon's almost like the companion to Larry McReynolds.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, Larry Mack brings a ton of technical knowledge and some driver stuff, you know, because, you know, as a crew chief, you have to understand that. But now you're pairing this championship crew chief with, you know, Jeff Gordon, a championship driver. And I think it just helps the broadcast now, because now the two of them kind of feed and you're like, oh, okay, well, as a crew chief, I'm thinking this. And Jeff Gordon chimes in, well, you know, as a driver, I'm hoping my crew chief does this. And they kind of get this back and forth going, you know. And so, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, Jeff Gordon stays. You know.
And I got to say that while I have, over the years, I have enjoyed, I won't deny it, I have enjoyed Darrell Waltrip. I got to say, having Gordon there, it just becomes obvious how trite DW has become. I mean, he's just trite, honest to God. He really, his comments, he doesn't add anything. It just drives me nuts.
The nice thing about Darrell Waltrip is he's kind of like the Barney Fife. You know, like... You know, he came up with the whole digger thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole boogity boogity boogity.
Yeah, I know.
He's like a catchphrase guy, kind
well,
of thing.
Well, that's what
he's become. And
he brings
a little. You know,
but it's become hackneyed.
Yes,
that's the problem.
Yes,
it's old and it's hackneyed.
And one of the things, I've always liked in general about Fox Sports. It didn't seem so stiff. Like when we go to some of the other networks, it's very professional and we don't crack jokes and we, you know, everything's very technical analysis and we just report it the way it is. You know, and I kind of like the casual feel of the Fox broadcast. you know, and I think Jeff Gordon does bring that, though. While he does, you know, he's got all the knowledge, you know, he corrects a little joke here and there, and, you know, he's not, you know. Whereas DW, it's just kind of like, yeah, all right, you know, it's like sidekick. You know, it's sidekick guy. Yeah, you know. Doesn't really bring much to the broadcast, just has his little jokes.
Well, personally, I think sidekick's more relevant than even DW is. So I'm going to be perfectly blunt with you.
Sounds like Fred House Mike's not a fan of Daryl.
Well, listen, before Jeff came on the scene, I wouldn't have known any different. Now that I've seen Jeff, that's the problem. I got a comparison.
Right.
That's the problem. That's what it is. All right, listen, we're going to run out of time here. Let's get over and take a look at what's happening. Yep. NHRA drag racing. 2 weeks ago, we were in Florida for the Gator Nationals, Gainesville. Three heats now down for the season. So we're still early yet in the NHRA season at this point. Interesting standings, though, right now, real quick. Pro Stock, Jason Lyon sits atop the leaderboard. Who's number 10? Erica Enders. Boom. That's your cutoff line in order to make the countdown is number 10. So Erica Enders, surprisingly, in the 10th spot right now. But just like in NASCAR, plenty of time yet in NHRA. Hey, nice job. Drew Skillman up at number 4. But Jason Lyon leading it all. Greg Anderson in there at number 2, just 6 points behind him. Funny car. How about Robert Height? Robert Height, John Force Racing up at the very, very top. Ron Capps there in second place. John Force is in third. Where's our cutoff? Matt Hagen at 10. So good job there from the JFR cars early on. They had a good week 2 weeks ago out there in, or down there in Gainesville. Top Fuel. Well, how about this one? Was this the first one for Brittany? I think it was the first one for Brittany. I think that's her first Wally. Brittany won at Gainesville. Excuse me. And now sits atop the leaderboard in Top Fuel. So Brittany Force up at the top. Clay Milliken is number 2. Doug Aletta is number 3. Our cutoff at number 10, Antron Brown. All right, so that's where things stand right now. Very oddly, now today, like I said, we are in Las Vegas. Excuse me. Very odd, for some reason or another. And I was checking yesterday, and I checked again this morning, and I'm checking right now. For some reason or another, over at the NHRA webpage, the leaderboard for Pro Stock is completely blank. It's not coming up. It was that way yesterday, and it's that way today. I don't know what's going on with Pro Stock. So as far as the ladder goes for today in Las Vegas, I really don't know what the ladder is going to look like for Pro Stock. Now, over in Funny Car, we're up. That's listed, no problem. The number 1 spot, Courtney Force, number 2. Robert Height, number 3. So the JFR car is running well again here in Las Vegas. They usually do, too. They run well at Las Vegas. I'm just looking through this real quick. John Force is coming in at number 10, and we'll go up against Matt Hagen. Oh, God. That's always a nemesis race right there. But he'll go up against Matt Hagen in the first round. In Top Fuel, Steve Torrance has got the number 1 spot. Doug Coletta is number 2. Antron Brown coming in at number 3, so that might help him out in moving up the standings a little bit. Brittany Ford's coming in at 4. Excuse me. We do have a full set, nicely enough. We have a full set. It looks like we've got every spot filled in both Funny Car and over in Top Fuel. That was another interesting thing I saw about qualifying for today's NASCAR, guys. We got 40 cars running. We've been seeing 39 recently, but we got 40 cars running today's race at Martinsville. Okay, let's get around. We got to get to Psychic. We got to get to your fantasy picks for this week. And just by way of, hold on here, I got to get the right thing open here. Just by way of standings, I'll give you a quick update. Your race trim fantasy team is in the number 2 spot in the standings in our field of 29. You're in number two. Daytona
yep.
Cementheads is in the number one spot. That by virtue of their two wins, because Daytona Cementheads already has two wins on the season after they won the fantasy race 2 weeks ago at Auto Club. So what do you got for us this week?
Well, this week I'm going to run the number four, Kevin Harvick, the number 18, Kyle Busch, the pole sitter, number 22, Joey Logano, Matt D. Benedetto, and the number seven, Regan Smith. I'm going with Joey Logano and Ford for my winner and manufacturer the show team.
All right. There we have that. Now, we also need to get to our Eat My Dust picks for this week. I just wanted to pull up the standings. And because it's all three of us, and then we've got our loyal fans. We got Liz in the mix, and we've got our buddy NASCAR John is in the mix as well. So two of our listeners. Currently in standings, Liz is at 168 points. John is at 158, so a difference there of just 11. Sidekick, you're coming in at 145. Brandon's at 112, and I'm at 93. Liz this week is going with Casey Kane. John is going with Denny Hamlin. Sidekick, where are we going?
I'm going with my boy Joey Logano from the pole.
Of course you would. Brandon?
I'm going to go with your guy, Kyle Busch. I think Kyle's going to win this race.
I am currently dead last. A good 70-plus points out of first place.
So what the hell?
Yeah, really. What the hell? I got nothing to lose. I've been saying it for a couple of weeks. I talked a little bit about it at the top of this program today. I like the young drivers. And when you take a look at Martinsville, of the past 26 races, 20 of them have been won by Chevys. I'm going to go with Chase Elliott. That's what I'm going with, Chase Elliott.
Nice pick.
All right, there you have it. That's our program for today. Excuse me. Let me remind everyone of our broadcast schedule for this coming week. I'm hoping come Tuesday night, and I'm still a little bit, kind of a little uncertain, but I'm hoping that we will see a return to our All Major League Baseball Cleanup Hitters program come Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, what you want to do is you want to be paying attention. If you want to tune into that program, you want to be paying attention to our Frat House Sports Facebook page. Get over to that. Get over to Facebook. Frat House Sports, leave spaces in between. Look for our little purple icon and give us a like. And we keep our programming up to date over there. So you're going to want to be paying attention to that. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to pull that one off. I'm not 100% certain because I don't know if we're going to have all the personnel available. But I'm certainly going to give it every best effort. Thursday night, we will be absolutely back here with our Frat House Sports Show number 239, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You want to be here for that one. Guys, I think our race trim is next Friday night because we're going to be doing a Saturday race next week. So we're going to be a Friday night broadcast, I believe. For race trim, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll be here on Friday night in advance of Saturday's race, because that'll be a Saturday NASCAR race. And then Saturday, I'll be back in at 2 p.m. for our relaxed Frat House Saturday program. Nice job today, guys. Enjoy it. Enjoy the race wherever everybody is. We're all scattered around, so enjoy it and have fun. And for all of you out there, a lot of sports today, a heck of a lot of sports.
Opening day for baseball.
You got that right.
Cards are up.
Got that. You got NHL hockey. We got NHRA going, and we got opening day for baseball. A lot of sports today. So,
WrestleMania.
That's right.
And yeah, Frat House Mike will be tuning into that.
Not likely.
All you got to do, go in the living room. The TV in the living room can stream it. has a WWE app. All you got to do is turn it on.
Oh, boy. Unfortunately, I've got a 90-minute Walking Dead episode to watch tonight, so season finale, so I probably won't be doing the WrestleMania.
Oh, how about that? All right, well, whatever it is you're going to be doing, folks, get out there and enjoy all your sports. Take care.